لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, the Sheikh, may Allah preserve him, dealt with a deficiency that the Muslim community is currently suffering from. It's actually a commonly spread disease, and it is that of anger, people becoming angry. He mentioned that anger is an enemy to the brain, to the mind. It is like a wolf for the sheep. If you allow it to overtake you, it will assassinate you. And anger is a quality that you will rarely find someone who is free from. Most people have anger in one form or another. Rather, avoiding anger completely is not considered a quality of perfection. It is a deficiency as well, not becoming angry at all. And we will see how that is. Becoming angry will make you forget about the limitations of Allah. It will bury your good deeds, and it will cause you to forge lies against an innocent individual. He said anger has many reasons, and people are at various levels when it comes to anger. Some of them are those who become angry for the silliest of reasons, just petty issues. And others become angry whenever the matter is great. And some are between that. Then he went on to enumerate some of the main causes of why people get angry. Number one cause is ujb. Ujb is self-admiration. When someone admires himself, or when a woman admires herself, so they belittle others. So if you admire your opinion, your status, your lineage, which family you come from, your ancestors, or your money, this is reasons for you to create enmity against others. And self-admiration goes hand in hand with kibr. And kibr is arrogance. It is the most major of sins. In fact, the very sin that made Iblis who he is today is arrogance. When Allah told him to prostrate to Adam, he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهِ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said, I am better than him. You made me from fire, and you created me from fire, and you created Adam from clay. So he thought himself to be better than Adam. Consequently, he disobeyed Allah. He did not repent, and he became a shaytanur rajim, the cursed, the one who is deprived from Allah's mercy until the Day of Judgment in Jahannam, and those who follow them in the quality of kibr. So being admiring oneself then is means of becoming arrogant. If you are arrogant, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none, he will not enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah, the one who has a grain of arrogance in his heart. Of course, the continuation of the hadith, which is not mentioned here, a sahabi said, O Messenger of Allah, one of us would like to put on a nice garment and have a nice pair of shoes. You know, what came to mind is that looking good is arrogance. The Prophet ﷺ told him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Verily Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Then he told him what arrogance is. He said, arrogance huwa غَمْتُ النَّاسِ وَبَطْرُ الْحَقِّ. It is to belittle people and to reject the truth. This is arrogance. Looking down at people, which is self-admiration, and rejecting the truth. When you tell someone, this is the sunnah, do this or don't do that, they become arrogant. They don't like to get instructions from younger people. They don't like to get instructions from people who they think are less knowledgeable than them. They don't like to get instructions from anyone. Okay, I know everything about Islam. I've been Muslim longer than you. Don't teach me anything. This is arrogance. Some people have this quality. If a younger person advises an older person, even though he knows he's right, he will not accept. Because in his mind, I'm older, so I don't have to listen to anyone. This is arrogance. This person, according to the hadith, shall never enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah because of this particular quality. So this is the first reason why people are angry, because of self-admiration. The second one is argumentation. And to be more particular, mira' is not just argumentation, it is futile argumentation. It is vain. It's in vain, meaning it does not lead to any practical benefits. You don't establish or accomplish anything. It's just arguing with each other and khalas. You neither win nor does, you know, no benefit is attained. People just going back and forth for nothing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, I am the master of a house in Jannah to the one who will abandon argumentation even if he's right." Even if he's right, and he knows that he has a case, but he abandons this kind of vain argumentation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised this individual a place in Jannah. So this is among the reasons of anger. The third reason that is behind anger is excessive joking. We're not going to say joking, because you may joke, you may, as they say, crack a few jokes that are halal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have done so, but he only joked in truth. When you joke, your joke should be real. It shouldn't be a lie. So what we had recently, April's Fool, is really for a fool. Only a fool, not fool in Tamiz, fool in his brain, will get involved in something like that. Where someone will send an email to his brother and say, "My family died in an accident, I lost all my money, blah blah blah," and then, "Okay, I'm just joking with you." This is nonsense. People do silly things. Joking in Islam, it has boundaries. Once we cross the boundaries, joking becomes impermissible. And many times people do that. So we need to also have, you know, very particular approach to the kind of jokes. The Shaykh gave us some examples. He said, joking begins in a nice way with a laugh and ends with enmity. And maybe someone punching you, or hitting you, or verbally abusing you. So then you will find many people wind up transgressing against Allah's limitations when it comes to joking. Either by saying things which are of no benefit, or by doing harmful things which will result in major damage to the others. And then he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "None of you shall take the clothing of his companion, whether he is serious or joking." Like for example, he goes to shower and he leaves his clothes outside. He says, "I'm going to play games with him." So you take his clothes. Whether you are serious or joking, this is not allowed. Because these kinds of jokes will create enmity in someone's heart. This happened with me, for example. Not with the clothes, alhamdulillah. But the joke which hurt my feelings. I have an appointment with someone who's supposed to be in my house at 8 o'clock. And you know, we are supposed to, as Muslims, guard our appointments and punctuality. There's no such thing as Saudi time or Indian time, meaning when I tell you 8 o'clock, it means 8:45. This is nonsense that the people created on their own. This goes against Islam in part and parcel. This is lying at the end of the day. You give someone an appointment, you better show up on time. You have an excuse, alhamdulillah. You got in a car accident, alhamdulillah. There was traffic, it's all fine. But to be sitting there at home, knowing that you're late, but you don't care, and you know that you will arrive late and you don't care, this is not allowed. So either we have a valid excuse or we don't. Anyways, so I'm looking at the time, it's 7:55. And I'm calling to brother to check on him. Where is he? He's supposed to call me, you know, 10 minutes before he's there. So I call him and he says, I'm still at home, 5 minutes before appointment. So I was upset. You know, brother, you know, what kind of carelessness? Then he said, "Oh, I'm joking. I'm down the street." Okay, now by the time I realized and had to, now I can't change my feelings anymore. Now I'm sad about the joke. The joke killed it for me. I don't even want to see the brother anymore. You know, now I have to fight my shaitan and see how I'm going to welcome him and be a good host when he turned it off with this silly joke. What do you mean you're still at home? And he's down the street. So this was a lie. Whether it's a joke or not, it is counted as a lie. This is not allowed. This kind of joke where you're lying is not allowed in Islam. So we need to be careful the kind of jokes which one may get involved in. Then he mentioned that he mentioned some statements of some of the righteous predecessors, that one of you will, a person will beat his brother with a rope, and another one will beat him, you know, with the one that you burn the coal with, and then he will tell him, I was just joking with you, you know, oh, I'm just playing with you. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah used to say, woe to you from excessive joking. Verily, it will bring about ugly things and it will cause enmity between the Muslims and their hearts. Then he mentioned the fourth reason why people become angry, which is profanity. Abusive, foul language, cursing, swearing, different words used nowadays for the same idea. That you say words that are not becoming of a Muslim, unbefitting words addressing another Muslim, whether you would resemble him to an animal by calling them, you know, names of animals without giving you any examples obviously, or anything which indicates that he is not intelligent directly to his face, you are, you know, this or you are that, and this kind of thing obviously will get people upset. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, verily Allah hates the man who is foul in language, the one who curses the people. And this happens often when you're driving. The biggest test for you to see whether how do you do in terms of anger and your speech, try driving on the streets of Jeddah and see someone going from the far right lane and decides to make a left suddenly he wants to make a left, no signal light, no nothing, and then he's mad at you, right? He's mad at you, like, why are you looking at me, or why are you honking the horn? And then, you know, people, this is where people usually start, you know, cursing each other. And so Allah al-musta'an. So these are the four reasons that are the four main reasons behind people becoming angry. Now what about praiseworthy anger? Is there kind of anger which is allowed, which actually you'll be rewarded for? Indeed, when you become angry for the sake of Allah, when Allah's limitations are being bypassed, are being transgressed against, are being ignored, you become angry for the sake of Allah, not for yourself. This is the kind of anger that is praiseworthy. Evidence, Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he went to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to receive the revelation from Allah, he left his people, Bani Israel, with Harun. In the meantime, they brought a calf, which they formed in the shape of a calf, as some gold, and they worshipped it besides Allah. When he came back, Allah described him in the Quran, when Musa came back to his people, غضبان, angry, asifa, he is upset and regretful over their behavior. And he said, what a terrible what a terrible behavior you have done in my absence. And then he continued until the end of the ayah. The point being is that he became angry because Allah's rights were transgressed against. He wasn't upset for himself, but because they had fallen into shirk. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ, he's only known to have become angry when Allah's limitations were transgressed against. Aisha radiallahu anha described the Prophet ﷺ by saying, he ﷺ never raised his hand and beat anyone. Pay attention now. With his hand. Not a woman, a wife meaning, not a servant working for him, except when he would struggle in the cause of Allah. In jihad, obviously you will raise your arm with the sword. Then he said, she said, radiallahu anha wa an abiha, and he was never harmed concerning himself, and he took revenge for that. Except if Allah's rights were transgressed against, then he will take revenge for Allah, but not for himself. All his life, how many times was he harmed? When the Quraishis, they put the leftovers of the camel, you know, the, after delivery, whatever remains, that nasty stuff, when they place it over his head, alayhi salatu wasalam. In many different occasions, his anger was for the sake of Allah. He wouldn't become angry or take revenge for himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he gave us some practical examples. When do you become angry? How do you manifest this anger for the sake of Allah? Today, you see that Allah's limitations are being transgressed against everywhere. On television, in the media, you read it, you hear it, you see it. And everyone seems to be propagating wickedness and evil among the Muslims. And so many people make fun of the Muslims, you know. If you are practicing Muslim, they call you names. if you adhere to the sunnah, they call you names. It's like the evil people are making fun of the righteous people. Like things have been, you know, twisted around. In this case, you must become angry for the sake of Allah. And if you become angry for the sake of Allah, it is indicative of your faith in Allah. If you don't get angry, your iman is weak. If you do get angry, meaning your iman is strong and sound in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you manifest this anger? By enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil and refuting doubtful matters. So when you see someone smoking, for example down the street, you must become angry. Now that anger doesn't mean you go and punch him, say don't ever smoke here again, because that's not da'wah, right? Maybe you'll go to prison, maybe he'll punch you back and he will smoke more afterwards. So there's ways of dealing with that. However, anger is what will lead you to do something about it. If you're not angry, say, well, I don't care. That's his business, right? That's his business. So you will leave him alone. But if you become angry for the sake of Allah, no. You stop him, say, my brother, what are you doing? Is this okay? Is this halal? You will hardly find someone who will say it is. They may tell you makruh, you refute that. It's haram, we have evidence from the Quran, this is not the time to discuss it. The point being, you do something about it. You see some children, you know, teenagers in their car, you know, bumping music, listening to music, shaking their heads, and they got this smoke, ha ha ha, laughing there, you know, out loud. You can't just be like, okay about this. Say, brothers, what are you doing? You think you're going to go to Jannah with this kind of lifestyle? Is this the way of the people who will go to Jannah? I don't think so. This looks like, you know, the wicked people in the West who live this kind of lavish life, and those are the people of Jahannam. And so where do we want to belong? Do Muslims imitate the kuffar? أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Shall we treat and make the Muslims like the criminals? What is the matter with you? How do you judge? What kind of judgment is this? They're not the same. We're not the same in the consequence, we're not the same in our behavior today. Muslim and a kafir are on two opposite extremes. And this is something that we should keep in the back of our minds always and forever, especially the youth, whom we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide and make them, you know, means of this ummah regaining its honor and dignity. So this is how it is done. Then he told us the story of Al-Makhzumiyya, which is a woman from a particular tribe. And this woman had stolen. And it was, you know, in Islam, if you steal and it's been proven that you have stolen and the amount, you know, is a particular amount, then what is the ruling? The hand is cut off. So her tribe went to Usama ibn Zayd and said, you know, he's close to the Messenger of Allah, go speak to him, intercede for us with the Messenger of Allah to let this woman go. So when they went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became angry. He said, are you trying to intercede? Are you seeking intercession concerning one of Allah's rights? One of Allah's legal executions, which is cutting the hand? Then he said, verily, what destroyed the nations before you is that when a noble person, when someone from among the nobility of the people committed a crime, they let him go. And when the poor person among the peasants committed a crime, they will carry out the punishment against him. Then he said, by Allah, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was to steal, I will cut her hand off. This is for Allah. Are you trying to have me change Allah's deen because you are trying to intercede for this tribe? There's no room. This was anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example is, when we see the Muslims being killed all over the world, we are expected to become angry for them. The problem is many people become angry and then they release this anger in an un-Islamic way. So they become angry and they go on the streets and they riot and destroy cars and burn tires. Is that Islamic? Did the Sahaba ever do this? Go around the Kaaba, you know, beat people around the Kaaba, try to burn trees down? Sahaba didn't do this. And the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba were being persecuted for many years. So when we get angry, don't get excited and get emotional. We have to also express our anger Islamically. And that means no rioting, no mixing between men and women in the streets in the riot. Nobody goes to Salah, wallah, we're rioting. And no burning tires, destroying you know, structures and so on and so forth. This is un-Islamic, unacceptable. We express anger in an Islamic way. And that is through the Quran and the Sunnah. I'm sure everybody understands how could that be fulfilled. Secondly, the second kind of anger is the blameworthy anger. We had the praiseworthy anger, blameworthy anger. And this one is when you are angry because of some satanic cause or because of falsehood. You become angry when falsehood is attacked. Like for example, nationalism. You know, you get angry for your country. You know, your country was offended. Not Muslims, not the people, you know. Even if it's a non-Muslim from someone's country, if he gets offended, we become angry because he offended a citizen of our country. This is not from Islam. I know it's very common today, but this is not from Islam. This idea of dividing the Muslims into whether you go to the Middle East and you look at Bilad al-Sham, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, Jordan, so forth. Then you go to the subcontinent, you have India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. Who divided us like this? The Kuffar. They put these barriers and these boundaries and they made us different nations and they put conflicts between us so we will never get along. So that everyone will become angry for his nation. Not for the sake of Allah, not for the deen, but for nationalism. This is among the Arabs and among the non-Arabs, among the Muslim Ummah in general. We have this deficiency, this disease of nationalism. I'm from this country, so I'm better than you. Or you from that country, so you're better than him. Who told you that? Is this correct? What does Allah say in the Quran? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Verily the most honorable in the sight of Allah amongst you are those with most taqwa. Khalas. Your passport doesn't matter. Your skin color doesn't matter. Your lineage doesn't matter. You either fear Allah so you're good, or you don't fear Allah, you're worth nothing. That's what we need to keep in the back of our minds. Very often, you know, people get angry for their country, or people get angry when we try to impose Islam. You know, you tell someone, you know, don't do this, and they get angry. Why are you forbidding the evil? It's none of your business. What do you mean it's none of my business? It is my business. When I see something wrong, that I stop it is my business. When I see you committing sin, I must stop you. Otherwise, you and I are sinful. So people become angry that you try to advise them. And this happens very often. تَأْخُذُهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. Arrogance overtakes him sinfully. Not that he's right, but now he doesn't want to take advice. So this kind of anger is unacceptable in Islam in every way, shape, and form. Thirdly, permissible anger. Permissible anger is when you become angry, not because someone disobeyed Allah, and also something that doesn't have to do with Allah's limitations, something in between. But then what do you do? What is the best thing in this particular predicament? To forgive. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ. Those who suppress anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who pardon people. عَفُو is stronger than maghfira. Maghfira, you may forgive, but they remain something in the heart concerning the brother. It remains in the back of your mind. And anytime there's a conflict again, you bring it up. Remember what you did to me 2 years ago. Afu is when you pardon someone and you, as if he never did anything against you. Khalas. It's erased from the history books. Yours and his. This is a very high level. And Allah praised them. Those who suppress anger, they pardon people. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Consequently, Allah loves the good doers. So these are the qualities which you are expected to have. Then he mentioned a very interesting story. A slave woman who worked for Ali ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu. She was trying to pour water for him to make wudu. The jar or the pot which she was carrying slipped out of her hand and it fell on his head and cut him. She wounded his head. So his face changed. He became angry. He was about to speak. So she said, hold on. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ. Those who suppress anger. So he said, I have suppressed my anger. He relaxed. She said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who pardon people. He said, I have pardoned you. She said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبِّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves the good news. He said, go, you are free for the sake of Allah. Now the Shaykh said, which one of us can do this today? Which one of us can do the first one? Do we do this? Allahu musta'an. With our own children, forget about a stranger. With our own children, as soon as they make a mistake, bah, you know, maybe 20 feet back to the back of the room. You know, we don't have any control. We don't have it. Why? Because he dropped some salt on the ground. because he broke something unimportant, because of silly petty stuff. Reality, this is what we're suffering from, but this is how they used to be. So we need to exercise this. The objective of the khutbah, as he mentioned at the end, is not we don't hear a nice khutbah and we go home. We really need to exercise this at home. Try it. When you're angry, keep cool. Suppress the anger. Forgive the person, whether it's your wife, it's your daughter, your son, whoever it is. Do it for the sake of Allah. And in return, Allah says that He will love you. If you have this particular quality, I think it's worth it, wallah. Then he said, now that we have known the disease, what about the cure? Are there any cures in the Quran and the Sunnah? There are. Cure number one for anger is that, first you should know that Allah did not send down a disease except that He sent down a cure for the disease. The first is seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. If the shaitan tries to divert you by whispering to you anything that would divert you from the path of Allah, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Then, there's a sequence of events. Then seek refuge with Allah. Verily, He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. So then anytime you feel that the shaitan is whispering nonsense to you, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This is the first cure. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ, in an authentic narration, he was sitting with a companion, Adi ibn Hatim, and two men were verbally abusing each other. One of them became so angry that the veins on his neck were popping out. Okay, this is an indication that he's very upset now. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily, I know a word. If this man were to say it, then everything he is feeling right now will be taken away. And that is seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan. They went and told this man, the Messenger of Allah said, if you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan, whatever you are suffering from will go away. He said, do I look crazy to you? He was so angry that when this was said about the Messenger of Allah, when you become angry, you lose your mind. SubhanAllah, it's like drunkenness. It's like someone who has been intoxicated. Once you become angry, you don't know what you're doing. How many people have killed their friends? I just read it in the newspaper 2 days ago. Two friends, close friends, were playing with each other. They got into a fight. He pulled a gun and killed him in Saudi Arabia. Here. He killed him. And he went to jail, and of course the bottom line is that he will be executed unless the family, forgive him. But this is what happens. Now this is his best friend. In any other situation, he would never kill his best friend. But subhanAllah, this is what anger does to the people. The second cure is if you're standing, sit down. And if you're sitting down, lie down. Okay? Anytime you feel angry, change posture, change your position. So you will not be in a situation where you can act upon your anger. The third one is that you remain silent. Do not say anything. When somebody verbally abuses you or does something that angers you, keep it sealed for the sake of Allah. Don't say anything, because once you say, it's going to ignite the fire. Khalas, then you will lose control of what will happen afterwards. So as they say, prevention is better than cure. Prevent the problem. Before you enter into the problem, try to find solutions for it. Do not say anything. And he mentioned a statement of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, learn and make things easy for the people. Do not make them difficult. And if one of you becomes angry, then let him remain silent. The last solution he mentioned is actually based on a weak narration. I'm sure you've heard it. If you become angry, make wudu. Because the shaitan is from fire, and the water puts out the fire, so make wudu to put out the anger. This is a hadithun da'if. The chain of narrators is inauthentic. We cannot attribute this to the Prophet ﷺ, so we cannot act upon it. And I will tell the Shaykh inshallah through via email concerning the hadith. But just in case you know the Arabic or you've heard this hadith before, I find it beneficial to mention this, even though I'm not trying to burn him out or expose him. But this is the deen of Allah, and there's no compromising in the deen of Allah. This hadith is inauthentic. Okay, you don't make wudu when you're angry. You sit down, you remain quiet, you seek refuge with Allah. And these are the solutions which we have from the sunnah. Tayyib. Let's say you have reached this quality. You have become able to suppress your anger. Do you gain anything? will you benefit in any way, shape, or form in this dunya and the life to come? Indeed, first, we said, according to the ayah, you will get Allah's love. And this is plenty of goodness for one of us if we ponder upon this. For Allah to love you, I don't think anything else matters in this dunya. Secondly, it means for you to enter Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Darda, do not become angry and Jannah is yours. Do not become angry and Jannah is yours. Furthermore, Allah will honor you in the presence of all of the creation. It says in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever conceals and suppresses his anger, even though he's able to take revenge, even though he's able to take revenge, Allah will honor him in the presence of all of the creation on the Day of Judgment, and it will be said to him, choose from Hur al-Ain whichever one you like. Okay? I don't need to comment on this one. Also, you will be saved from Allah's anger. If you do not become angry, then Allah Azza wa Jal will not be angry with you, according to the hadith. A sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would prevent me from Allah's anger? He said, do not become angry yourself. Then he mentioned the hadith of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. He said, I was beating a slave of mine with a rope. I was lashing him, to be more particular. And I heard a voice from behind me saying, no, O Abu Mas'ud. No, O Abu Mas'ud. He said, I was so angry I couldn't recognize the sound. So I threw the whip on the ground. Then I realized it was the Prophet ﷺ saying, no, O Abu Mas'ud, verily Allah is more able. He has more power over you than your power over that slave. Meaning if Allah was to treat you in a similar manner, you will not be able to survive. So because you feel you have superiority, you have power over this man, you're getting carried away with your revenge, know that Allah has such power and more over you. So take it easy. And that teaches you, anytime you want to kind of oppress someone, know that Allah may take revenge from you. So we need to be very careful when it comes to this issue. And lastly, it will increase your iman. Then also know that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told him, give me an advice. He said, لا تغضب, don't become angry. He told him again, أوصني, give me advice. He told him, he continued to repeat. The man continued to ask for advice, and the Prophet ﷺ continued to tell him, لا تغضب, do not become angry. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. At the end, how many times have you heard a father killing his son, or a son killing his father because of anger? What are the calamities that we have encountered because of anger? There are too many to enumerate. It mentions in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ saw a man bring another one to him, tying him by a leather rope. And he brought him to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and he told him, this man killed my brother. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, did you kill his brother? He said, yes. He said, what happened? He said, we were using an axe to chop, you know, wooden trees. And then he cursed me, so I grabbed him by the axe. I grabbed the axe and I beat him on his head and I killed him. So this is, as I explained to you earlier, it's a moment of anger. Because of this moment of anger, a soul was destroyed and taken away. So then the bottom line or the final advice is, people also become physically ill. Diabetes, high blood pressure, and many other diseases are you know, closely associated with anger. So many people that if you make them angry, they may die. Heart attack right away and die. Others would spend the night in the hospital because of anger. So if we're able to control anger, the bottom line is, controlling anger is better than becoming angry, than trying to find solutions. And how often has a man divorced his wife because of a moment of anger? Had he been calm, then everything would be normal. You know, so then what we're trying to establish in this khutbah here, from the Shaykh and I conveying to you, we need to control ourselves. Anytime you are in a predicament where you will become angry, don't become angry. Remain silent, relax, chill, and you will get the good deeds and the reward and the love of Allah. We don't want to become angry then try to find solutions for the problems we cause because of a moment of, you know, nonsense, because of a moment of misbehavior due to our anger. So as they say, الوقاية خير من العلاج. prevention exceeds and is better than treatment. Try to prevent the disease before it overtakes you, then you try to find treatment for that. So we need to do that. And secondly, in honor of our brother, because I didn't want to reject him, he wanted me to convey to you an Islamic teaching which is abandoned by the general masses of Muslims, unfortunately, which is the idea of keeping your garment above your ankles. Okay, brothers in Islam, there's no, you know, we're not going to play games with each other. It is not allowed, not allowed, for a Muslim man who believes in Allah and the last day to keep his garment below his ankles. In the salah, outside the salah, at work, at home, wherever you are. Our garments must be above the ankles. Now, I cannot give you the lecture now, but fortunately, and by the sake of Allah, just last week, I gave that same lecture at the International Medical Center. A whole lecture about this ruling called hell equals garment. Can you possibly enter hell because of your clothing? Indeed. Go to onewaytoparadise.net. www.onewaytoparadise. No digits, no numbers. onewaytoparadise.net. On the right side, you will see a lecture called hell equals garment question mark MP3. Download it, listen to it, hear what the ulama said about this, the various evidences, because there are many evidences which I cannot waste your time with right now because I know you're busy. Many evidences that will, inshallah, you will finish the lecture and you will have no doubt in your mind, no doubt, that you can no longer ever have your pants below the ankles. Whether it is sirwal or thawb or pants at work, it doesn't matter. Many people don't know this or whatever, alhamdulillah. If you don't know, we ask Allah to forgive you and forgive us. But once we know, we need to act. So please listen to the lecture. You owe it to yourself. Just so you know the ruling. If you're not convinced, at least you have known the ruling. But we need to know the ruling because this is not a joke. The hadith in Bukhari. Just one hadith I will tell you. One hadith in Bukhari. Whatever extends below your ankles from your lower garment is in the hellfire. Al-Baghdadi, in commenting on this hadith, said, meaning the person is in the hellfire. Not that your clothes will be in the hellfire and you'll be in Jannah. You will be in the hellfire because of your clothing. Why? Many different reasons explained in the lecture. So we all remember the website? OneWayToParadise.net, not .com, .net. And subscribe, so anytime we have another lecture, you will receive an email. Right? And you will be invited to other lectures in English. We wish to strengthen our brotherhood in the community. We need to work with each other for Islam. These are the people who remain. You know, these are the people of goodness, inshallah. Those of you who remain here and don't go home are the people whom Allah intends goodness for. So you will hear the reminder. So it is us, you know, us, our this group, and others who can work and join forces for the sake of Islam. And that is done by us, you know, working with each other in this masjid and elsewhere. So jazakum Allah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.